guys. Hello and welcome. If you're brand new to my podcast, this is Charlie Tate on Tater Thoughts. And I want to say something I always say at the end of my podcasts. Keep yourselves alive. Why do I say that? I've mentioned this a couple times, but I have so many episodes now. I think I'm in the high 100s. I know I've done 120-something Queen deep dives. That is my main focus, of course. I love music. I talk about Queen all the time. I've gone through every single song on every single one of their albums, and I'm in the mid-1980s now. But here's the thing. When I first kicked off my podcast, one of my very first episodes was, of course, the very first song on Queen's very first album from 1973. It was their very first single called Keep Yourself Alive. And somewhere on my 15th or 20th episode, I said, keep yourselves alive. And it just stuck. So I say it all the time. I love it because it's a pretty broad statement. I think it can be serious. It can be kind of cheeky. It's just cool. I don't know. Keep yourselves alive. There it is. And I think it's really relevant today because, no, I'm not actually talking about Queen. This is not a Queen episode in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I just finished Queen's 11th album, The Works, from 1984 in my last episode. And I apologize. I've been extremely lazy bones the last few weeks. I've fallen off the wagon again. I haven't done anything to prepare for my next Queen episodes. I have a big endeavor I want to take on, and it's going to take a lot of research on my part before I kick off the next album from Queen. I want to do justice to something very special, and I think it's appropriate because it bridges the album The Works from 84 and the next album we're going to kick off. So it's important that I do it. But it's going to take some time, and I think it's going to be a very long episode. So before I dig into that, before I even start making my notes and making my world all about that for the next week or two as I prepare, I want to talk about something different. Every few episodes, I veer into territory that's usually centered around online reputation, digital technology, social media, the world at large, mental health, emotional health, how it all ties together. I like to think about the big picture and the pieces that make the big picture. And today we're talking about what can sometimes be the grim picture. But I don't want to focus too much on the negative. There's a lot of that happening right now. I don't need to go into details. You guys know, if anybody's even paid any remotely paid any attention to the news, then you know what's going on. And it's not just about that big picture, because as I said, about the little things that make the big picture. Sometimes our own little worlds are pretty messed up, and there's challenges in front of us, multiple challenges. And I don't want to dwell too much on that either. I will give context, but the thing that is the focus today is the resiliency of the human spirit, the human body, et cetera, et cetera. I really want to focus on how we rise and we do it again and again and again when things just keep coming at us. And I think that's important. I was anticipating doing this topic before some of the worst things that are going on right now in the world actually happened. And I'm like, okay, I have to talk about this right now. I have to do it. So I do, for context, yes, we'll focus a little bit on what's happening with me and things at large. There's a lot of, how do I say this in a way that's succinct and obvious? Obviously, there's fighting, war, death happening. Hard to talk about it. Yeah, I am the person that I like to stay informed, but I don't want to know too much, which is difficult because I'm extremely curious and introspective, and I like to understand the inner workings of everything. So it's hard for me to not dive into that rabbit hole and just keep falling down it once I start to learn more and more and more. But I've learned as I've matured and, well, sort of matured, I've learned that I can't dwell. You know, it's easy for me to become a little bit obsessive about things, and I don't want to do that. So I like to be informed and I like to understand things. And part of my job, the nature of my job, almost requires me to understand to a certain extent what's happening in the world. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword there, but it's rough out there right now for many people. And I think some of us are more aware than others, and some of us are doing a better job at compartmentalizing the fear and the frustration and the anger around that and not letting it completely dominate our thoughts and our hearts 24/7. It's good to be aware and it's good to take action when you can, but I think you can easily wear yourself out and terrify yourself sometimes. Some people amaze me and they're able to deal with situations like that consistently. They are able to be consumed by it 24/7 and they don't lose their focus and their resolve. And that's part of, I suppose, the resiliency of the human spirit and driving forward. Those people, they have been given a gift. That's all I can say is they are built to withstand that kind of pressure and that kind of challenge. So there is that. There's that that's going on in the world, and a lot of us are staring at it. And that part of things is just one piece of the puzzle. Of course, at least in the U.S., there's crazy things going on with interest rates, and it's just some weird things happening. I think based on what I've read, there's a lot of confusion and surprise and intrigue on the business side of things. There was this assumption that because of rising interest rates, prices in other areas would fall, and that has yet to happen. I think inevitably it will. There's always a course correction of sorts, but it's difficult to see how that's going to play out. So it's interesting that you've had all these people predicting these things that have yet to come to pass. And there's a lot of very surprised people that are digging into this and thinking about it right now. And I don't want to get into that too much either, because I don't really understand it that well. I understand the basics and I get why there's a cause and effect and why something has to give. But let's move on from that. And the stuff about me, I don't want to go into details, but this is important to emphasize my own little battles I've been fighting. So presently, I have a bad tendon in my left foot. This whole thing started a few months ago and it's just escalated. I haven't run in almost 2 months and it's killing me. Some weird stuff with my stomach. I don't know. This has actually been an ongoing thing as well. I have yet to figure out exactly what's going on with that. A weird hormone thing. That is a whole mystery in and of itself. Another thing I'm not quite sure of, but seems to be resolving. I got to keep an eye on it. So you see, it's always, and has been for a very long time since I got diagnosed with UC over a decade ago, this has been an ongoing thing. And you begin to understand, I think, as you creep into your 30s and 40s and beyond, that the battle of being physically well is this bigger and bigger thing. And for some people, it's easier. For some people, it's cake. You know, some people are very lucky. They're very blessed. They're very healthy. They don't have any major surgeries through most of their lifetime. I pray that that is all of you that are listening right now. I'm always hopeful that people who are, you know, if they're going through something, first of all, you know that you're not alone. And second of all, if you're not going through something, then I hope that protection of sorts, that blessing stays upon you, because the last thing I would wish for just about anybody is to have to deal with some sort of ailment that is chronic or follows you and leads to many other things. Do any of you do that, where let's say you have one thing and then it kind of domino effects into this, everything just trickles into something else and you begin to do the reverse engineer thing and think, if only this hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened and this wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? I do that all the time. And I'm very quick to blame myself for things that happened to me on the medical front. And it's very difficult for me to tell myself, hey, you know, you got to stop that. Some things just happen. Some things we don't really have any control over. And some of those things we will never know throughout our lives. All we can do is face the problem in front of us. And rather than dwell on those problems and those challenges, which, yeah, I'm dealing with it. My stuff, I'm in physical therapy. I'm getting back to it. And I just hope and pray that my running days will start again soon. I'm optimistic. We shall see. So how do we overcome these things when they hit us, whether it's directly or indirectly? And obviously the indirect things are those, the bigger world things that may not touch us and feel so distant, but they are inevitably a part of us because we're all on this little planet and this planet is not very big. I've talked about how size is relative, and I think some people perceive it to be bigger or smaller than others. I've always felt like this world is incredibly tiny. And the best analogy I have for you is when I was small or when I was little and we went to Disneyland, and my mom told me, because my mom grew up in Anaheim, California, and she was out at Disneyland. She knew people who worked there. And her thing was always, it's huge. And we get there and I'm thinking, this is not very big. And I think I was 12 years old or something like that. Now, Disney World is pretty big. But even that, it's all relative. Now, huge to me is the universe and those distances we can't even comprehend. They're so massive. That's big. To me, though, the world is just this small thing that billions of us happen to be sharing. And in some way, all those things that affect one person, no matter how far removed it may feel from us, inevitably come back to us at some point. So whether something is directly in front of your face and it's a medical thing or it's a personal thing, it's a relationship thing that you personally are dealing with and you have to get through it, or you're simply observing something from afar and it's got you stressed and it's got you scared, or maybe it's distant from you from a geographical standpoint, but you know people who are in the middle of it and that makes it difficult too. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with knowing that we're going to be facing something, perhaps for an extended period of time? How do we deal with the unknown of that? Not understanding what may come at us, not knowing what's next, all of the what ifs. Who here likes to play the what if game? Raise your virtual hand. I see you. I do that too. And it is the worst thing you can possibly do. Fear and worry are a complete waste of our time. I want you to say that to yourself the next time you feel this nagging fear gnawing at you like a rat. Just tell yourself, there is no purpose in worry or fear or doubt. The only thing it does is make you miserable, because it's all based on what ifs. We have no way of knowing what's going to come to pass. We really don't. You might think, based on your life experience, you can expect what will come to pass in a particular situation, but you don't actually know that. You don't know what's going to happen. So why do we play the what if game or the if only game? And what ifs are not just about the future. How many of you have thought about that, about the past? Oh yeah, me too. What if this had just gone a different way? What if this hadn't happened? What if this had happened instead? Oh, I think about that so much. And then that gets into the whole butterfly effect thing, and we won't go there. But what do we do when we're facing something and we're so tempted to panic and fear? I'm not saying it's wrong to be upset or sad or scared. There are moments where that's productive. Fight or flight, it's important. It's built into us. It's instinctive. We have to have those reactions. It's what saves us sometimes. But when we have moments where we simply have time to just dwell and reflect, I shouldn't say reflect, it literally is dwelling on it. When we just sit there and we're miserable, we make ourselves miserable. How do we get through that? And how do we navigate when we're ready to stand back up? Life is going to beat us down. We're going to fall down. Sometimes it's our own doing. Sometimes things happen to us and we have absolutely no control and we simply fall over on it. Sometimes literally. I've done that. I tripped and fell when I was running and it took weeks to get back to it because I did a nasty number on my knee. So how do we, when we're ready to rise, no matter how long it takes, how do we face things? How do we muster the resilience of our human spirit? Let's talk about resilience for a second. I don't think most of us know how incredibly powerful and resilient we are. Yes, we are fragile beings. I look at my wrists at least once a day and think to myself, how is my hand still on my arm? I'm being serious. Our wrists are the most delicate looking things. I look at them and I think, wow, my wrist, I don't know about you guys, my wrist is tiny. There's nothing to it. If I put, and I'm pretty sure most of you would see the same thing, even if you don't have super tiny wrists. If I put a flashlight in a dark room on one side of my wrist and my wrist just lights up in red and I can see veins and everything else, it's the coolest thing, but it freaks me out because it makes me feel like I have to protect myself. And I have that brief moment of, wow, I can't use these. I got to keep them close and I got to protect them because they're so fragile. It's true. We are fragile people. We can be hurt. We can be injured fairly easily if we're not careful. But we also heal in ways that are absolutely astounding, especially little ones. Babies are the most resilient thing. It's absolutely incredible when babies will be injured fairly significantly. Not even super young babies, but toddlers. When toddlers are old enough, when babies, toddlers are old enough and they're walking all over the place and they're falling all over the place and they're running into walls, they're constantly bashing their foreheads and doing all kinds of things to themselves. They're falling over all the time. Think about the last time you fell. What happened? Was it dramatic? Did you get really hurt? I imagine it hurt. I imagine it was uncomfortable at the very least. But these babies, these toddlers, these kids will fall all over the place on their behinds and on their face, and they stand up and they just, oh, this is okay. They get right up and they just keep going. And sometimes they're completely unscathed. Yeah, it's possible for us to fall unscathed and get back up. But usually we feel it. If nothing else, we wake up the next day and it hurts. But kids, they can do these incredible things right after they've taken a tumble. And it blows my mind. They are so resilient. I think part of that is a lack of fear. I think it's just a mentality. When you're a kid, you're not worried about hurting yourself because you're still taking it in. When you're that little, you're simply having fun and you're living your life. It's when we get a little older and yeah, our bones get more fragile as we get older, we get worried. We fear falling. I know when my mom calls me and tells me she took a fall, I get nervous. And then she tells me, oh, it's okay. I'm all right. I feel better. But kids have this resilient, their bodies are so resilient. And we lose that a little bit as we get older. But in a way, it's almost as if our spirits become more resilient, or at least we have the capacity to be more resilient. Most of us will have at least one moment in our lives where we get to choose to resolve and retain that resilience. Sometimes we do have instinctive reactions, that fight or flight thing. You can't control it. I often wonder what would happen to me if I was in a situation where I experienced that. I suppose I've been there mildly a number of times, but not seriously. What would I do? I don't even know. That's a little bit scary to not know how you're going to react. But there are times where we have the moment to reflect and make that decision. Am I going to dive into this? Am I going to face this and take a step forward? Or am I going to let it get the best of me? How do we keep that resiliency? How do we hold on to that resiliency? What can we do to reinforce that feeling? To bring forth that power within us. I believe, especially as we call upon spiritual help, that we can have power. I believe that. I've seen it. I've felt it. I'm not going to get into too many details on that right now. But I've been there personally. I've been through things. I felt things, you guys. And I believe that we are assisted with power and we can have power, even if it's just temporary. Perhaps adrenaline is one of those things. You hear about people who are not what you would even consider very strong, and they can do things like lift a car to get someone out from underneath. Things like that. Where does that come from? You're going to tell me it's adrenaline. Okay, I believe you. But how is that even possible for adrenaline to give someone that much power? I think there are moments where supernatural crosses over into our world, if only for a moment, if only for a split second. You believe in angels? Raise your virtual hand. I know a lot of people do. I've listened to some sermons and I've read a lot about that. And I know that it's interesting to me. A lot of people believe in angels, even if they don't believe in God or a particular spiritual entity, they believe in angels, which honestly, I don't know how they can't go hand in hand, but I do know that a lot of people believe in angels. That is a moment where the supernatural touches our world. I believe in angels. I wonder about that, entertaining angels unawares, you know? So how do we, whether we're relying solely on ourselves or we're giving it up to, you know, God or something, and we're saying, I need this, I need to get through this. How do we do that? How do we do that? It starts with little things. And some of these may seem completely useless and ridiculous, but I guarantee you it will give you some brightness and some hope. I've talked about hope, I think, more than any other emotion or I've talked about hope a lot because that is what I cling to the most. And yes, the greatest of these is love, faith, hope, love. And maybe my sentiment will change, but I have always looked to hope the most. It's all about hope. It is the thing. So my first thing you can do, and some of these tie into each other a little bit, focus on what you love. Focus on what you love or who you love. What do you love to do? Who do you love? What brings you joy? I know there's something. Everybody's got something. I know some people tell me, well, Charlie, I don't really have any hobbies, or there's nothing I really desire to go after. Not everybody has a moment where they know what they're supposed to be doing in their life, or they know what they've been blessed with, some innate talent or interest. Not everybody has that, and that's okay. You don't have to feel obligated to know your thing, but everybody's got something they love, whether it's something they're talented at doing, whether it's something they like collecting, something they just love getting out and getting out there in the world and exploring. What is your thing? What do you love? What brings you joy? I'm talking about unbridled happiness that is completely off the charts, ridiculous, unexplainable, but you love it. Maybe it's something so silly you don't even want to share it with anyone else, but it is your thing. What is that? And why aren't you doing it more? Focus on what you love. The next thing, which is tied to it, take on something new. When was the last time you tried something new? Maybe there's a thing out there that's intrigued you for a very long time, and you see people doing it, and you think, man, I want to do that. Why aren't you doing it? Especially if it's something relatively simple. You're never going to know unless you try. Good example of this. I've known people, my husband is one of them, who didn't sing karaoke or otherwise for a long time in their life. And then all of a sudden they got up and they tried and they realized they were pretty good at it. And it brought other people joy. And even if they didn't think they were great or it was a little embarrassing for them, they were good at it, or they are good at it. And it, something about that brings them joy. And it also, the best part is it gives other people joy. I love that when people stand up all of a sudden and they try something and they think, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. And I think that surprise, as well as the just being good at it, if it's innate, there's no better feeling than that, because you can build on that too. Take on something new. Something interests you. You want to try something different. Maybe it's a professional thing. Maybe you're ready to step into a new position or a new role in your life professionally. Maybe you're sick and tired of what you've been doing and something's calling your name. Do it. Next, stay busy doing positive, productive things. Stay busy. Sometimes when I get stressed, and I'm really good at putting everything into one basket, especially when one thing goes awry and it's really challenging, I just start thinking about all the other stuff that I have to deal with right now. I'm really good at that. So when that happens, I don't know how to not be good at that. When that happens to me, what do I do? One of the first things I do is clean. Oh man, that floor looks gross. I got to take care of the kitchen. I got to take care of the bathrooms. I got to go out there. I got to water the plants. Those things seem so boring, mundane. And I know a lot of people hate cleaning. They hate it. They hate gardening, whatever. They don't want plants. They want fake grass. I know someone who wants fake grass. She doesn't want the yard. She just wants the fake grass. Don't want to take care of the plants. That's cool. But something about doing that stuff, the mundane things, the laundry, I don't know which one I would rather do. Trash or laundry? Laundry takes too long. But you know what? Once you're done, everything smells so fresh. You put it away all nice and neat. I don't know. Do you guys fold your laundry? Do you just stuff it in the drawer? I think most of us were doing that a few years ago when the pandemic started. It's like, who cares? We're all wearing sweatpants. Something about it, something accomplishing those little things feels so good, because not only are you cleaning things and making things look nice and putting things away, then there's that feeling of, okay, I'm not going to have to do this again for a week or two. Doesn't that feel good to get stuff done and stay busy? Boy, that fridge looks empty. Oh, it's time to go to the grocery store. Stay busy. I'm not advocating that you spend all your money, but if you need something, hey, make a list. Stay busy. When you are stressed, do things that are productive and positive, not just the things that bring you joy. That's what I'm getting at here. Sometimes it's just good to do things. Next. And hey, we're doing this right now. Create a recovery plan with steps, if possible. Let's say you just got diagnosed with something, and that's where my brain goes because I've been there. You have a bazillion questions, don't you? You're asking everybody. You're going online. Please ask your doctor too, doctors. If it's something really potentially serious, you're going to have a ton of steps to deal with. And you're probably going to have to make decisions too. And that's very hard when you don't know anything and someone hands you a stack of papers and you have to read about this stuff that you need, but is also going to do XYZ to you. Because that's the trade-off in the medical world, apparently. They have yet to come up with medicines that don't have side effects. Doesn't it freak you out these days to see those commercials where they have to disclose side effects now? So they go through this massively long list and incredibly fast dialogue about, if you have certain heart conditions, don't take this. This drug might interact with blah, 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 blah. It's scary. I hate it. I hope I'm alive to see the day where it's not like that anymore. I hope I'm alive to see the day where cancer is not a thing anymore, where autoimmune diseases are not a thing anymore. Pharmaceutical companies. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Okay, let's focus on the positive, shall we? So the recovery plan, yes, with steps. And you know what? Something I didn't put on here. Work with people to get through those steps. I do have something on here about connecting with people, yes. But work with people to create your recovery plan. Do not isolate yourself in your troubles. We do this because we're ashamed. Oh, I'm weak. Oh, I'm vulnerable. Hey, me too. I see a lot of beauty in vulnerability. You know why? It's genuine. I don't think there's anything wrong with people who have, I don't want to use the term arrogance because I don't like arrogance, but they have a sureness about themselves. They take care of themselves. They're self-reliant. I don't have an issue with that. That's great because you understand that you do have the power and the ability to heal and take care of things. But I do think there's a problem when you can't admit that you're hurting or you need help and you bottle it up and you refuse to let anybody in, even if it's just to support you, even if it's just to be there, even if it's just to listen. I think the biggest challenge for men and women sometimes is the listening versus doing thing. Women, by and large, vent. We talk about how we feel. We don't necessarily want things fixed. And I think one of the hardest things for men to do is to just listen. They want to fix it. Well, you need to do this. Well, that's not what I need. I want you to listen to me. I don't want to know what to do. Just be there. That's hard. And I'll be honest, it's hard for me sometimes to just listen to people because I want to fix you too. I want to help. And when we can't, we feel helpless and we feel lost. But get people with you who are going to be your support system, who are going to encourage you and help you in your steps. And if you're going through a big thing together, you need each other all the more. In person, in real life, not just online, please find your people. Keep them close physically. Get and be connected to real people. That was my next point, a perfect lead-in for it. We are so quick to befriend, chat, talk to each other online. And sometimes it's the only way we can. Distance keeps us apart. We can't always be together. It's great for people, for families, for friends, long-time friends who are apart and want to stay in touch. We have the ability to talk to each other, to see each other, FaceTime, video chats. It's great. But it is no substitute for having people with you. And I'm telling you this as someone who is generally a loner and quite content to be in my own company. But that's not healthy. I am terrible at keeping in touch with people. I am terrible at texting people or calling people. I don't like it because from my very youngest days, I was that girl who didn't want to call people. And my mom thought that was intriguing. Every teenage girl wants to have a phone and talk to people, but not me. I couldn't see anybody when I talked to them on the phone. I had no idea what their reaction was to what I was saying. And I was so worried There's that worry thing again. I was so worried about people judging me and I wouldn't be able to see that I scared myself out of using my phone or talking to people when I couldn't see them face to face. In-person interaction is so important. And I think many of us recognize that more than ever this last few years. When we were forced to stay apart, even those of us who are the most content to be alone realized the importance of in-person connection. We need that. Number five. This is number five on my list, but I think this is more like six or seven because we've gone over multiple things. Perspective. I want you to make a list of accomplishments and good things that have transpired in your life. I guarantee you, by the time you're finished, I want you to go from start to finish. I want you to think back to your earliest memories, and I don't care how small the accomplishment is. I want you to write it down. I guarantee you by the time you get to the end, by the time you get to your latest and greatest, coolest thing, that list is going to be so long, you're not going to believe it. I guarantee you. And again, I don't care if it was a tiny thing that doesn't really mean that much to you now as an adult. If it happened to you when you were five and it was the awesomest thing, yes, I said awesomest. If it was the coolest, awesomest thing that had happened to you, and it made you feel like $1 million, I want you to write it down. And I want you to look at that list once you're done. And I especially want you to make a list. If you have this goal, you have this massive goal in front of you, and it's still way in front of you, and you're thinking, how am I ever going to get there? You have taken steps toward that goal. I'm sure you have. And I want you to write those down. Every time you've made progress, I want you to write it down. I've done this for my music world, my music evolution, because I had these goals when I was in my 20s that I never met. I never met those goals. And there were times I felt like, yes, I really did feel like my life was over. Because if I couldn't reach those goals, if I couldn't accomplish that by the time I was 25, and then it was when I was 30, if I couldn't do that, I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And I didn't know if I was okay with that. Guess what? I'm still here. Guess what? I'm still not done. Guess what? I've done a lot. I may not have done what I thought I wanted to accomplish. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not even sure I want to do that anymore because I recognize what I wanted back then means a lot of negative, potentially negative things. Loss of privacy. Being scrutinized by people who know nothing about me but think they do. Potential manipulation. Being taken advantage of. I had plenty of people reach out to me to try to do photo shoots and things like that. I'm sure any of you who are, you have any kind of talent or beauty to offer, that has happened to you. People have come to you and said, oh, I'll do this for you. And I never took any chances. I didn't want to get torn apart or caught up in something that was going to make me miserable or put me in danger. So I said no. And maybe I did miss out on some legitimate good experiences, but I wasn't willing to take that chance. So I'm glad I made some of those decisions. And I'm still going for the thing. I'm still going for the gold. I'm still doing what I want to do. And I've done a lot of cool stuff in the process. I've met so many people who are insanely talented. I've collaborated with people all over the world who do these things that I would never be able to do. That DJ and perform in front of all these audiences. And I think, wow, I get to work with these people. It's not all about me. It's about everyone. It's about all of us doing this really cool thing. I've begun to realize that. The older I get every year that goes by, I realize that's the coolest part of it. It's not necessarily just what I'm doing, but what we're all doing. And when I look back at the things I have done, I'm so proud of those things. Even if no one else really cares, I've done all these little things that are so awesome. And if you have a goal like that too, whether you've achieved it or not, whether you have hope that you will or you don't, I want you to make that list and I want you to look at it and you are going to be like, wow, wow. And you're going to remember more as you write. So you're going to have to interject in the middle of that list and say, wow, okay, I forgot about this cool thing. Oh, I remember that now. I remember that person. I remember that time. I remember that thing. You are going to have a long list when you're done. All of the good stuff, all of the times, all of the accomplishments, all of the celebrations, all of it. I want you to write it down. And I want you to keep that list, preferably somewhere where you can access it all the time. If you have a notepad, a note app, use it. Keep a copy of it somewhere. Print a copy of it and put it on your refrigerator. I'm serious. If you're going through a really, really rough thing, I want you to keep that list right there all the time, close at hand. My last point, and this may or may not resonate with some of you. Pray, revel in faithfulness, and just cling to there is a reason. I know not everybody believes there is a reason for everything. Let me tell you this. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, even before I had any faith in anything, I believed there was a reason for everything. Even the bad stuff. And this wasn't, I suppose that's not too surprising coming from a young lady who hadn't yet encountered and faced the toughest stuff. And I haven't even faced, despite what I've been through, I haven't faced many things that people much younger than me have had to face. God help them. But I have been through some stuff. Some of it has been the same hard thing over and over. And when it hits me again and it starts again, I know to a certain extent exactly what it's going to feel like because I've done it way too many times. And I have to face that and go, okay, how am I going to get through this? Again, how am I going to do it? I've got my list. I've got my people. I've got my things I can do to stay happy and productive and positive. And even though I've been through over and over and over, I've had to face things. And even though we go through things over and over, and I see that, you guys, the older I get, the more I look at everybody else. I see you. I see you suffer. Even if it's not obvious, you learn to read people. You know, even though that negativity, that fight, that battle has been out there, and we face it in different ways every single day, I still, and sometimes I can't believe, I still believe it, everything happens for a reason. People will ask me, how can you say that, Charlie? You have an autoimmune disease that very few people have. I think the percentage in the United States is still something like 1.5. I don't even know. It's a very small number. I won. I love to joke about that. I won. Too bad it wasn't something good, right? That's how I deal. That's how I get through it. But yeah, I have this thing. And it's not just that, it's the other stuff. Guys, I am not saying I got it worse than any of you. Not at all. I'm simply saying I've been through it. But I still believe. And it's not just what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That is the very worldly way of saying something that's actually very rooted in what I believe in Christianity. When things happen to us that are hard, if we're believers, we cling to that, don't we? Our faith, something about it suddenly skyrockets because we have hope. We might despair for a time. Don't get me wrong. When I'm hit with something hard, I go through it sometimes for days. It's the same cycle every time. I'm defeated. I'm down. Why? And then somewhere in there, I decide I got to stand up. And all of us have this cycle that is the way we deal with things. And when that happens, we hope. we cling to that so hard. We are driven to cry out and to pray and to believe in something bigger than ourselves. The faithfulness of God and people. And while it isn't quite what doesn't kill you make you stronger, I don't think that's a bad sentiment. I just think it loses some of the importance of the reason we get stronger is because we are reinforced with that thing, that supernatural thing. It changes us. It makes us believe. It makes us strive. It makes us stand up for each other. It makes us stand up for ourselves. It empowers us to the point where sometimes we feel invincible. Sometimes we feel invincible. Have you ever had a moment like that? Where something struck you in the heart so hard and deep and all-consuming that you walked around for days after and you just felt like nothing could touch you. Why can't we keep that? Maybe that's what keeps us going. The resiliency, that seeking, that hoping. You know what just came to mind as I was talking about that? Brian May. My favorite composer and queen. Not my favorite band member necessarily, no. But I think one of the reasons I love his writing is because he is a seeker. No, he's not chasing a golden snitch. He is a seeker. He's hoping, he's looking, he's interested in people and the way we connect and what it all means. And he works for NASA and he's an astrophysicist. He is a steadier and a seeker, and he writes that way. So many of his songs, his material, are about death or what comes later. The urgency of love and passion and the loss of it. That's not to say that the other boys and Queen I love so much didn't touch on those things. I love every single one of them and what they brought to the whole. Every single one of them, so important to the whole. But something about Brian's writing. I would love to sit down and have tea with that man. And I have a bazillion questions for all of them, but I have so many for Brian. And I just love his sentiment and the way he's always seeking. And maybe that's why somewhere in there we are able to retain that resilience. The resilience of the spirit. Our bodies are miraculous. I could talk about that all day and how amazingly we are built. fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one of us, we're like these little miracles walking around. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about how you got here and what you started from and what you always have been? You came into this world as whole and realized, as you will be through your whole life. We get experienced. We learn things. We fail. We rise. The resiliency wins. Do you know what I'm getting at here? We grow. We change. But our worth, who we are, what we are made of, that never ceases. That never changes. It is completely there the moment you are there. Hang on to that, what you are. Find it in the things you love. Find it in what you do. Find it in the people in your life. Find it in what you share. Put it out there. Put yourself out there. Dare to put yourself out there. Share that vulnerability. Share it with the people who need it to know that it's okay to have a moment where you're tired or you're angry or you're hurt or you're confused. Because guess what? We are all there at some point. Some of us are there right now. But I also know you can and will. You'll burst forth again. You'll shine again. You'll see. That resiliency is always in there. I was a bit all over the place in this episode. Happy, sad. But I hope it gave you something productive. I hope it gave you something to perhaps resolve, to try, to hope. And if you're listening right now and you are going through something really hard, my thoughts are with you and my prayers are for you. And I hope that you will take to heart all of the goodness, the accomplishments, the happy times, do not fear. Do not worry. It is a waste. Just keep hoping. All right, guys. Keep yourselves alive. And next time, I will talk about a cool little one-off queen episode. I hope you'll join me. And it's about time I did another random deep dive. Gosh, it's been months since I touched an artist outside of Queen. And maybe I'll do something, recent. I do a lot of things from yesteryear. Nostalgic music I love. But maybe I'll tackle something new that I'm not that familiar with. That might be fun. Okay, guys, until next time. Find the good. Just find the good, okay? Promise? Okay. I'll talk to you later.